On this episode of the Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, Ghost Joe and Creepy Ken go head-to-head on which prophet was the better one, Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce. So strap yourself in and hope that your next leap will be your leap home. Oh boy.
Do aliens exist and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I am Ghost Joe.
And I'm Creepy Ken.
Ooh. There you go. There you go. Creepy Ken. All right. Awesome. Awesome. We have an awesome show for you guys tonight. We're going to be talking about some stuff. And actually, the first thing I do want to say, though, because it actually is today, you guys aren't going to be hearing it on the same day, but today, as we're recording this, is Edgegrave Dave's birthday. So I just wanted to give him a shout out and say, you know, happy birthday, buddy. You know, thanks for doing all you do for the podcast. You're awesome. And so have a great birthday, man.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, bro. So today we're actually going to do a little bit of a different format, we're going to be doing a little bit of a debate on which Britney Spears album was better. Oops, I Did It Again or Baby One More Time. I couldn't do it without not laughing.
The best.
I'm going for the OG. I'm going for the Baby One More Time, but you know, I don't know what. No, we're going to be talking about some prophets. All right. I'm going to be arguing for Nostradamus, and Creepy Ken's going to be arguing for who?
Edgar Cayce.
Edgar Cayce. Yeah, man. So two of the big guys, in the world of prophets or seers or fortune tellers or whatever the hell you want to call them. I predict I'm going to win this one. That's what I predict.
But, I don't
you know,
know.
We'll see. We'll see. Know. We'll see. You know, I was actually called the eating prophet once, you know, because I used to, I don't know if you guys ever heard of White Castle, right? But I knew if I ate 10 of those White Castle burgers, I knew it was going to happen later on. That's for sure. But I did it anyway. You know, I did it anyway because they're delicious going down.
They are.
Yeah.
They're delicious.
You've had them. You've had White Castle? White Castle is over there?
No, not here. So here we have something called Crystal, and it's like White Castle, but it's almost exactly the same. But when I was in Ohio, we had White Castle, and I love White Castle.
Hmm. Oh, they have that in Ohio. Oh, okay. All right, cool. Oh, very good. So before we actually get into it, man, I did want to bring up a couple other things too, though. Did you happen to see, first off, did you hear that Candace Cameron, you know, DJ from Full House, she actually is teaching her kids and she will not let her kids watch horror movies because she says that horror movies are a gateway to hell?
I did see that. And you know, the thing that doesn't make sense to me about that is, come on, you're in the business. You know that shit's fake. So what are you doing, man? Like, I guess I understand a little bit what she's saying because there's certain things like on movies and stuff like that that my wife won't watch because she feels the same way. Like, if there's weird chanting or if they're talking weird languages, my wife's like, nah, I'm not watching this. This is too weird. She's in Hollywood, isn't she? So doesn't she kind of have the inside track on how these things work?
And to be honest with you, if anything is a gateway to hell, it's those god-awful Hallmark movies that she makes, a thousand
of. Oh, yeah.
That's definitely the gateway to hell. I don't know about any horror movies, but Hallmark movies about Christmas, you know, she's on all those Christmas Hallmark movies. You know, that's you want to go to hell. You want to go straight to hell. That's what you got to watch.
Agreed, 100%.
You know, and then the other thing I actually wanted to talk about is how psyched are you that Spaceballs is coming out with a sequel?
What? Did you see that? I haven't heard this.
You
yet.
Didn't
no.
hear that?
No.
Yes. Yes. Spaceballs. Mel Brooks is putting out Spaceballs 2
in
2027. Now. And wait, Rick Moranis is going to be in it. He's coming out of retirement, which he hasn't acted in like years. He's coming out of retirement to be in it.
Wow.
I think like John Candy's son is going to be in it. Like a whole bunch of like, you know, a lot of the people, Bill Pullman, who was in the original, is going to be in it. Like, that's awesome, man. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, and, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, and what's it called? Mel Brooks is actually replaying, you know, he's going to play Yogurt again.
Yogurt. Who's the other? Barf, right?
Barf. Yo, yeah. That's a classics, man. Hell classics.
Yeah. I'm actually excited right now. Trying to drag my wife to the theater to go see 28 Years Later because 28 Days Later is one of my favorite zombie movies ever. So
nice.
I love Danny Boyle.
Which one was that? 28 Days Later. I don't know. There was so many that came out around like the same time, I felt.
It's the one that had Killian Murphy in it.
Was that the one in the mall? No, the one in the mall was Dawn of the Dead, right?
Yep.
I think that was Dawn of the Dead. That was the one in the mall. And then World War Z was the one where the zombies were like super fast and super smart.
Walked out of the theater on that.
Did you really? I think I saw a couple scenes of it. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, it was trash. Yeah, I watched the first probably hour of that movie and was like, I'm done with this. I can't do it. Like, because there's been few movies, that actually two movies that I've done that with. I did it with that and I did it with The Crow 2. I walked right out of the theater in The Crow 2. I gave that about 40 minutes of my life and was like, I'm done with this, wow. Man.
Oh, yeah, The Crow 2. I remember that one. Yeah. It could never hold a candle to the first one. The first one was a masterpiece. No. That was an amazing movie,
exactly.
The first one.
Exactly.
And, yeah, man. Yeah. I definitely agree with you on that. For sure. Another thing. It's not technically horror or paranormal, but Mortal Kombat 2 is coming out also, like the sequel to the newer Mortal Kombat movie, you know, which the first, the one that came out a couple of years ago was sick. That one was,
I liked
really,
it
really, really crazy, that one. And really gruesome, like super gruesome, you know, way more than I expected. Because if you remember, the original one from the 90s was like a kid's movie. You know, I don't even think there was any blood in that one, if I remember right. But that one that came out a couple of years ago.
I'll tell you what the best part of that one was, though. The best part of the one from the 90s was the music, because it had KMFDM did all the music for that. And I love KMFDM. Nice. So,
all right. So let's get into this profit thing. You know, so let's do this. You know, we got two visionaries, they're centuries apart, and only one could claim the mantle of the greatest prophet. Not really, but you know, maybe to us. and if you guys have any like anything to say about it, you know, definitely give us a call at 845-600-0744. Let us know your opinion. You could also get in touch with us on any of the social medias. You know, we got Facebook groups, we got Instagram and TikTok and all that good stuff. So definitely come find us. The links are always in the show notes of every episode. And check us out on the Get Haunted Paranormal Network as well. We're on there with a whole bunch of awesome, awesome podcasts too. So definitely do that. So do you want to start or you want me to start with this?
You go ahead and start, man. I'll play cleanup. Yeah, I'll play cleanup.
All right. All right. Sounds good, man. So Nostradamus, a lot of people know a decent amount about this guy, right? But he was, you know, he was born in the 1500s, and he was one of the biggest prophets of probably the biggest prophet of all time. He wrote 900 quatrains in a book that I can't pronounce, Les Prophéties, I guess. And it came out in 1555. And, you know, it's his book is still referenced to this day. Whether you kind of, The thing about it is that it was written in different languages in a sort of a code, right? Because he didn't want people to know what he was doing, you know, because at the time people were getting persecuted for the things like that because they would think he would be like a witch or you know, whatever. And they would put him to death if they knew what he was doing. So he would write everything in code. He was actually an astronomer. He was an astrologer, excuse me, an astrologer. He was a physician as well. So he had a lot, you know, under his belt. So it wasn't just like he was just doing that. But he had 900 different, you know, quatrains, all written differently. He's credited of, you know, foreseeing different events like the death of King Henry II, the rise of Napoleon and Hitler, the Great Fire of London, the atomic bombs hitting Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and possibly even 9/11. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit too, because even though I'm kind of, you know, rooting for my guy in this, the thing about it is that a lot of his stuff is sort of vague, you know, so it's almost like, I'm not going to get religious, but it's almost like another book that a lot of people read that, you know, you could interpret it in different ways for whatever is going on in your life. That's kind of what, all right, I'm going to say it. That's kind of what the Bible is, you know, like it's kind of like a rule book or a guidebook for life. And it kind of guides you through certain aspects of your life. No matter how many times you read it, the way certain things are could influence you or impact your life in certain stages. So he could have said something like, I believe one of the quatrains for the 9/11 thing was, you know, steel birds hitting the new city. That could really be anything, you know. It doesn't have to be the two planes hitting the Twin Towers, you know, but he's, you know, that's the thing about his stuff is that it always gets referenced and it always comes up when something big happens. They're like, oh yeah, it's almost like that South Park episode. If you've ever watched South Park, Ken, it's almost like that South Park episode when they're like, oh, Simpsons did it. You know, it's like, oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nostradamus said it. He said that, you know? So they're always referencing this guy because he's out there. And he even, I'm going to mess up her name. So I'm just going to say she was the Queen of France at the time. He was her personal astrologer and she was a Queen of France. So he was well known, man. And he was well known as an influential guy, even at that time. So that's where I'm going to go right now. So if you want to start in with Edgar Cayce, go for it, man.
So I got pretty in depth with this, man, because once I knew about Edgar Cayce and I didn't. So I knew about him. I just didn't know about him. So when I started going down the rabbit hole of Edgar Cayce, it kind of unraveled this whole thing for me, like where I didn't know. So like, it blew my mind a little bit, you know? So I'm just going to start right from the beginning, man. Edgar Cayce was born in 1877 in, funny enough, where the heck? Christian County, Kentucky. And the county that he was born in is a strange county. It had several weird things happen that we can talk about later on. His family was real well known. They had owned most of the county they owned. So, by all accounts, he was a pretty normal kid until the age of three. So at 3 years old, he, fell headfirst off of a fence post onto a board that had a nail sticking out of it. And the nail went into his skull and pierced his brain. That's when shit started getting weird. So fast forward to like a year or so later, he like 5 years old, something like that. He was playing. He didn't have friends. All the kids thought he was dumb in school. So he was playing by himself a lot. And his parents started to worry about him. Well, he told them he wasn't playing alone, that he had companions. And this kind of, they were like, what do you mean? You know, he's got imaginary friends. No, he went into like full on depth saying that he was talking to the little folk in the garden. And there were 7 or 8 of them. They were all around his age. And they all had distinct names and background histories and personalities that he went on and on and on and told his parents about. Some of them were big. Some of them were small and had wings. And his parents kind of, they didn't freak out because his mom didn't freak out. His grandfather had some abilities as well. So that there's family history there. So his mom didn't really mind it. His dad kind of got frustrated with it. He had this crazy life of like changes throughout his whole life. So like he did lots of different things. He was kind of a journeyman type deal. He was very close with his grandfather, and his grandfather died when he was young, and he actually saw his grandfather die, which is even more crazy. He watched his grandfather drown. He was riding a horse and the horse went into a lake and he fell off of the horse and I think hit his head and drowned.
Wow.
And so after this point, Edgar would spend a lot of time in the barn behind the family's home talking to his grandfather who was dead, which again, his dad kind of got frustrated with, but didn't, you know. So fast forwarding, because I'm going to try to cut this short because I really could talk about this all day. He was in school as a teen. He was struggling. He was really, really far behind everybody. And all the kids thought he was weird. And it was a kind of a messed up situation because they thought he was dumb. And by all accounts, he kind of was because he couldn't read right. He couldn't concentrate on school. And he was already way so far behind everybody. His dad got really frustrated with him. And when one night he was trying to get him to spell these words right, and he had grilled him on these spelling words, like until midnight one night. Well, Edgar needed a break. So he fell asleep on the book. And when he woke up, he realized that I know every single word in this book. I know this book front to back. Huh. And his dad tested him. He could give him a word, pick a word out, and Edgar could tell his dad not only what page that word was on, how to spell it, what page the word was on, but what line in the book on that page the word was on, and how many letters in or how many words in. So pretty crazy, right? That he can like. Huh. Basically memorize a whole book just by falling asleep on it. Well, he found out soon after that it wasn't just falling asleep on it. He could touch any book to his forehead and have it memorized.
Huh.
So he did really well at school after that. As you can imagine, he did all really right. Well and actually surpassed all the kids in his class.
Wow.
Edgar was also very, very, very involved with his church. He was very involved with his church. He was one of the only, I think to this day, kids that were like 12, 13 years old that were allowed to teach Sunday school. He was very, very, one of his churches gave him like this other role where it was like some leadership program and no kid has ever had that role. He loved the Bible. He constantly read the Bible. He read the Bible one time for each year of his life. So he'd read that Bible once a year, every year until he died. Crazy. Like,
wow.
Wow.
So he wasn't just a seer or a prophet. Like he had, you know, many other abilities too, as you know, because of what had happened to him. That's crazy. A lot of that stuff I had no idea about. I thought he was just, you know, considered a prophet. So that's crazy.
Actually, I come to find out, I thought that too, but I came to find out that he wasn't the kind of prophet like Nostradamus, per se. He wasn't one that went on and would could tell you, you know, like the World Trade Center thing. He could do that, but it wasn't his thing. Edgar Cayce's thing was, and because the little folks that he was talking about, it was, were introducing him to other entities that were around. And then one night when he was a, I think, teenager, little older teenager, young, very young adult in those days, he was visited one night by an angel. And the angel told him that he does have these abilities and he does have these gifts and to use these gifts to help other people out. And that was kind of Edgar's thing, was he was going to use his abilities to help people out. So just to put that in perspective, what I said about that, I'm going to go ahead and tell you a little bit about some of the things that he did. They said he was able to grab or think of like the Akashic records. He was able to access those easily. And the Akashic records are, I guess they use them in like tarot and stuff like that. It's basically like a database of everything in the world. Like think of it like an archive of the universe type of thing. And the way he was able to access those was through his, I guess, guide. He had this thing called the source that would come to him and tell him things. Hmm. Now, when he was a young adult, he got this weird throat thing where he could not talk for a long time. He couldn't talk for almost a year. During this time, he talked to a doctor, and the doctor suggested trying hypnotism. So he was hypnotized, and under hypnosis, something really strange happened. And this kind of what is kind of what unfolds Edgar's true gift. Under hypnosis, he was able to give the doctor that was hypnotizing him instructions without Edgar's knowledge on how to cure himself. So when he came out, the doctor had written all this down and was like, hey, like, do you remember any of this? And he's like, no, I don't remember any of that. He goes, well, you went into this trance, like hypnotic trance, of course, because, you know, he was put under hypnosis. Hmm. But you started talking like someone else and you started giving me instructions on how to treat yourself. So he followed his instructions. Days later, made a miraculous recovery from this ailment that had been bothering him for over a year.
Wow.
So I was going to put this a little in perspective. A lot of Edgar's work was helping other people out, like I said. So he had done over 14,000 documented readings that were all recorded by stenographers in his time. Some of his clients included Harry Houdini, Marilyn Monroe, Thomas Edison, Nikola Tesla.
Wow.
Let's see. He would put himself, he taught himself how to put himself into a trance, into a hypnotic state. And while in this hypnotic state, he was able to locate lost items anywhere in the world. He was able to read playing cards that were face down on the table and mixed up. He could recite information that was sealed in envelopes without ever opening them. Like you could jot something down, random, put it in an envelope. He could read it without even opening it. He could wake people from a deep sleep just by thinking of them, which is pretty scary.
Wow.
He helped solve multiple murders and find multiple missing persons. But the most interesting thing, as I was talking about, was medical diagnosis. He only had an eighth grade education, but he was able to help doctors out by giving medical diagnosis while he was under this trance. And something crazy, like 97% of the people that he did this for, if they followed the instructions, they'd have what they would call a miraculous recovery from whatever ailment they had. There are several people that he he helped do this with. One of them was actually his wife. His wife had come down with the consumption, and she did not want him to read her. She didn't want him to do anything, but she was coming down with like weeks left on her life. And she finally gave in, and Edgar did a reading on her, and during this reading was able to diagnose her medical condition and also give her a treatment that cured her from tuberculosis, which is insane.
Wow. Wow.
All of this is documented in medical logs by actual doctors that were present when he was doing this. So he was getting people from all over the place asking for medical readings and things like that. And he wouldn't take any money for it. Didn't want to take money for it, which is pretty awesome. He should have. He probably would have made lots of money. He saved the lives of I don't know how many different people. That was kind of Edgar's thing, was the medical diagnosis thing. And his main goal later on would be to start a hospital. And they did. They started a hospital in his name, which is kind of cool. I think it's closed now. But some of his teachings are still going on with his ARE program. I think his son is taking it over now. But yeah, the guy had a crazy life. Like, without going into it too much detail with it, there's multiple crazy things that have happened in his life. It wasn't what I was expecting when I started digging into this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know at one point he was doing a reading, and he always had a doctor with him when he'd do a medical reading. And for the longest time, he had his dad come in on the medical readings too to help put him in a trance. During a couple of the readings, he didn't remember anything during the readings that happened. He found out that his dad and this doctor were asking him questions when he was under this reading about horse races and lotteries and things like that. And they were making tons of money off of it. And he got pissed and ruined his relationship with his dad. The doctor was done with the doctor, didn't want anything to do with it because that isn't what he wanted to do with it. And I think at one point he got so desperate on money that he did it himself, and he lost his powers for a short amount of time. Because that part of the deal, I guess, with his powers was that he wouldn't use it for his own gain. And he did that and then lost his powers. But I guess he dug himself deeper into his Bible at that point and asked for forgiveness. And in a short amount of time, he got his powers back. But yeah, pretty crazy stuff, man. I mean, almost all of his stuff is very, very well documented. And I'm talking like straight down to... There's a case called the Button case that they talk about a lot. So Hopkinsville is where he lived, which is a weird town too. Remember I said that there was another thing with the town that he lived in. Have you ever heard of the Hopkinsville goblins?
Yeah.
There you go. Wow. It's a weird little town.
Huh.
So when he moved back to, he moved from here to there, here to there. He moved back to Hopkinsville at one point. And there was a physician, well-known physician living there that was having his daughter was having a really hard time breathing. His little girl, she was like 5 or 6. And this doctor had been through absolute hell trying to figure out what was wrong with her, and had gone to various doctors, received x-rays, and absolutely nobody can determine what was causing this. Until Edgar got involved. So he had a vision that he saw a small button in the girl's throat, right? And he could see exactly where it was in the windpipe. And when he came out of the trance, he told them, she swallowed a button. I'll tell you exactly where it's at. And he drew a picture. And sure enough, physicians found a button exactly where he said it was. X-rays didn't pick it up because the buttons back then were made of celluloid, and plastic wasn't invented until, you know, 1880s, something late 1880s. And yeah, I mean, just crazy stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he did do a little bit of prophetic visions, but it really wasn't his thing. And you know, he talked a little bit about Atlantis, just like Nostradamus did. But it, really, the medical things, helping people that needed help that couldn't be treated, those were his big things, man.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, that's pretty, and the fact that it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Is what makes it even crazier. You know, like, as far as with Nostradamus, that was in the freaking 1500s. So that was a very, very, very long time ago. But actually, I don't know if you knew this. I actually did on the first show that I did for this year in January, I talked about some of Nostradamus had actually predicted some stuff for 2025, actually. And, a few of the things were, now, mind you, you gotta, it's still like very generalized, you know, as far as whatever. Like he said, he foresaw a year marked by global conflict,
yeah,
political upheaval, and even cosmic catastrophe. You know,
pretty vague.
Very vague, you know, I think. The cosmic catastrophe, I don't know what's up with that, what that's about, but we have been having a lot of weird cosmic stuff lately. You know, like if you think about it, like this year we've had more like aurora borealis sightings, you know, everywhere.
Yeah,
all these eclipses that we've been having, you know, all this weird stuff has been happening like space-wise lately this year. And it's funny because every time it happens, they're like, oh yeah, you know, check out this eclipse because you're not going to see it for 70 years. And then like a month later, they're like, oh yeah, there's an eclipse coming tomorrow night. You know, like, I thought you said we weren't going to see it for 70 years. Well, what do you mean? You know, but it's happening a lot lately. With Nostradamus also, he predicted his own death, which is really morbid, you know, but he predicted his own death. He predicted pretty much the end of the world and that it was going to have a rebirth in the year 3500 and something. You know, he had a lot of different things, but again, they are very vague, and they're open for interpretation. You know, what somebody might say, oh yeah, well, he was talking about, you know, the assassination of JFK in this, but then,
it's like music, right?
20 years later, something else happens. You're like, he was talking about this.
It's like music. You can make your own interpretation of, it's an art. You can make your own interpretation of what you think it is, you know?
Right. And I guess that's why, I mean, obviously it's never been documented as fact just because of the vagueness and the generalization. You know, at the same time, you got to remember too, like if he said iron birds, in the 1500s, they didn't have airplanes. Mm-hmm. So what the hell, you know, he was kind of describing what he thinks they look like, you know? So, I mean, there's that too. So I think they're both very, very, exceptional people, you know, really, when you think about it. You know, and I know Edgar Cayce is considered the sleeping prophet. that was his nickname, right?
Yep.
I had actually heard about the both of them. I don't know. You might remember this show. It was a mini series. I think it was a mini series that was on like network TV back in like the late 80s, early 90s. And they called it Ancient Prophecies. And it was called Ancient Prophecies. And they talked about Nostradamus. They talked about Edgar Cayce. No, really? Yeah, they talked about Edgar Cayce. I think you could even watch it on YouTube.
Okay.
They talked about Edgar Cayce. They talked about Nostradamus. And it's really crazy because if you watch it now, like, you know, you hear about, oh yeah, well, he says that in the year 2000, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Like, well, we're in 2025 now, you know, like, so, you know, and they talk about a few other prophets as well in there that were very, very interesting. But Edgar Cayce always stood out to me. And of course, Nostradamus. But I will say one thing, you know, whether we could agree on who's, that we're not really going to agree on who's better, but Nostradamus did look cooler than Edgar Cayce, though. Edgar Cayce kind of looked like a little bit of a dork.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, he was a little dorky looking.
He had a nail in his brain, bro. What do you expect? I mean,
Nostradamus had the long beard. He looked badass, Nostradamus. You know, when you think about a prophet, like, it's Nostradamus, you know? Yeah.
When I see the thing that I found really interesting in about this, about Edgar Cayce, is like, you get, so I went back and forth between Edgar Cayce and Baba Vanga, right? Like, because Baba Vanga was pretty cool. I think it's Vanga or Vanga. I don't know how the hell to say. I don't know how to say those kind of names. Anyway, she was a Bulgarian prophet, right? And I started digging into there and I'm like, wow, a lot of what she's saying is almost like a lot of what Nostradamus is saying, you know? And I'm like, okay, this is interesting because it kind of lines up. However, the further I dug, the more that I realized that, first of all, there's a ton of just junk out there on the internet right now. Like, so much of it is just people with too much time on their hands that are just putting misinformation out there. Because I come to find out that it really, she wasn't really so much of a prophet or a psychic that everybody thought she was. She was, a lot of that came later after her death. And it was a bunch of stuff that I guess Russia put out to scare everybody. Which I don't even know if that's true or not, but there was only a couple of sources that I could really find anything that she said that had to do with it. But to my point, where I was going with this, and I do get side squirreled a lot, you know. But the thing I thought was cool about Edgar Cayce is it wasn't like he just, there was a catalyst there. Like, he fell on the nail and then stuff started happening. You know, makes more sense to me than somebody just pulling stuff out of their ass, you know. Like,
right.
It's kind of, there's okay. So yeah, we don't know much about our brains, you know, scientifically, sure. Medically, we don't know a whole lot about our brains. And, you know, they say there's only a small portion that we actually fully utilize. So with that being said, maybe he knocked something loose in there, you know, when he hit the nail, and that's all it needed to wake that up. And I mean, all these, in the difference between like Cayce in Nostradamus, is there is lots and lots and lots of proof by very, very well known and very good medical sources for some of his readings. I mean, 14,000 cases documented. You know, that's pretty incredible. Yeah. How many cases of Nostradamus's, you know, prophecies have come true are actually noted by somebody who does that stuff.
I think he was probably more wrong than he was right, actually. Yeah. More than anything. Like I said, you know, most of his stuff was very, very vague, and I believe that most of the stuff that he said, like, because like I said, he did have things about the year 2000, as a lot of people, oh, flying cars and all this stuff, and, you know, whatever, you know, this is going to happen. The California is going to fall into the ocean and all this stuff. And, you know, none of that stuff happened, at least not yet, you know, hopefully never. But, you know, so I believe he was probably more wrong than he was right. Yeah. And when you think about the interpretation stuff, you don't know if he was really ever right. And right. and honestly, what was his motivation for doing it? You know, like you said, Edgar Cayce had a motivation for it. He wanted to help people. Nostradamus was already a physician, you know.
Yeah.
He was an astrologer. He was already kind of a well-respected, you know, man of science and a man of medicine. And what would his point of risking death, risking like being hanged, you know, would be for doing what he was doing, you know? So I don't get it, you know? At the same time, he definitely made it a point to really code his, you know, his words, yeah. You know, being in like, I think it was like four different languages he wrote it in, you know, and he wrote everything in like these weird poems and stuff. So why, you know, I wish we could know his motivation, yeah. You know, behind of why he was doing it.
Maybe because it was just not everything. Nothing.
Maybe, you know, maybe he just had these things in his brain. He just wanted to get them down, you know, get them on paper.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, the thing is, I will say it's really cool to go down those little journeys and those paths with Nostradamus and whoever else and see it. But I will also say it reminds me of your TV psychic, right? Like, of the old days, you know, like the ones that would just throw vague generalizations at you. And, you know, right. You're going to, you know, three of them might not sit with you, you know, but the one that does is the one that gets you, you know, and then it sucks you in. And then you start finding your own connections here and there and everywhere. And,
right.
And
yep.
It kind of goes that way, you know, like, and that's another thing that really fascinated me with this Edgar Cayce stuff is that, sure, he did a little bit of astrology, and he was able to astral project and to see other things like that. But he didn't really use those gifts. He was helping people, and I keep saying it, but the coolest part about it is that how heavily documented this all is on his side is pretty incredible. All the people that he gave medical advice to and that made miraculous recoveries. It's pretty damned incredible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, since we're talking about these prophets and, you know, and all this stuff, and you had mentioned psychics, right? What do you think about these psychics? What do you think about John Edwards? You know, what did you think about John Edwards?
I don't know. I don't know. John Edwards, he never really did it for me. You know, he's not the kind of guy that I don't know. There's just something about him. I maybe it was a personal thing. Maybe I just didn't like him, but I always thought he's full of it. You know,
he did have a really punchable face.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He did have a punchable face.
There's sure. A lot of them out there. Like was Cynthia Brown? Was that her? Back in the day, like she had some really good stuff.
Oh yeah. Don't even talk about that lady, man.
But there was so much.
She got caught up in a lie, though. Yeah. She got caught up in a lie right on Montel.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and they quickly like rushed right to commercial break because she totally got something, and she like really got something wrong. I don't know. I don't know if we talked about it or if I don't know if you remember what it was, but she was giving a reading to this lady, and she wouldn't even, you know, Cynthia Brown was, she was very nasty. She was always very short with people, very, very nasty person. And, you know, and it was really easy to see how nasty she was. And I remember this lady got up and she's like, you know, my husband had passed away and we never found his body. And I just want to know, you know, and then before that lady was even finished with her sentence, Sylvia Brown's like, oh, he drowned. Oh, that's because he drowned and you never found his body. And she's like, what? Yeah, he drowned. And then the lady tried to explain something and Sylvia Brown just kept talking over her and saying, oh, no. And then she goes, my husband died in the World Trade Center attacks. And then Cynthia got super quiet, didn't know what to say. And Montel's like, all right, we're going to go to commercial break now. You know, like, yeah, you were caught right on national TV, lady.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, cut it out now.
And those are the ones that give the real ones a bad name, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. John Edward, I feel like John Edward, I don't know. Nowadays, looking back, I don't know how truthful he was either. But with him, I feel like he gave people closure and he gave people hope with what he used to say to people. So I feel like in a way he was still doing good work.
Yeah.
You know, but I did hear that the people that used to go to see his shows used to have to fill out a questionnaire before they went into the audience. And like on the questionnaire, it would ask you, oh, who would you like to speak with? Who do you hope would come through?
Yeah.
You know, so if you had to fill out a questionnaire, I mean, come on, that's,
yeah,
you know, that's giving it away right there. Like,
to me, you know, the real ones aren't the people out there on the circuit going around trying to make the money. You know, to me, those aren't the people that, first of all, I don't know how far I can trust you because you're in it for the money. Second of all, why wouldn't you be using these skills that not a lot of people have for things like finding murderers and helping law enforcement and doing stuff like Edgar Cayce, you know, like medical stuff. If you can really see all that stuff, why aren't you using it for that? Because it seems to me like if you're in touch with a power like that, you would really be that much more in touch with humanity, you know, and
you would
be trying to do something good with it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know when me and Edgegrave Dave had actually met Sebastian Bach once outside of one of his Broadway plays, we had got to meet Sebastian, and we I don't know why, but the one question, you know, because he's a very fast moving guy. So if you wanted to ask him a question, you got to ask it like right away. Cause he'll be gone in like 2 seconds, you know? Yeah. Cause he's like, I guess he has ADD or something. Like you would think he would, because he's all over the place. So the one question for some reason that I asked him was, Hey, Sebastian, was John Edwards for real? Cause he had a reading with John Edwards on TV. And I said, hey, Sebastian, was John Edwards for real? And Sebastian looks at us and goes, he was as real as he could be, I guess. You know, like,
yeah, I get that's,
you
pretty...
know, like that kind of tells me a lot right there with that statement, you know, like, okay.
Yeah. You know? There's a young guy going around now who I think you see him on TikTok a lot. My kids were showing me him, and he's real big for like talking with celebrities and stuff, doing celebrity readings. And he's actually pretty darn good, I think. I can't think of what his name is, but good enough to where it captured my attention. And, you know, when it comes to stuff like that, you've got to be pretty good to capture my attention, because at this point in my life, I'm pretty much over all that BS. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you've got to be pretty damn good if you're gonna sell me on the fact that you're getting information from other sources and that no one else can get. Now, I totally believe that psychics are real. I just don't believe that they're okay. I don't believe that the ones that are out there that we see are the real ones. You know what I mean? Like I believe there are people out there that can see stuff. I mean, my buddy's grandmother growing up, she knew stuff that no one else knew. I mean, she could touch your hand. Literally, one time touched my hand and told me what I had for breakfast that morning. Freaked me out, man. I'm like, whoa, like, that's some real stuff. You know what I mean? Little Italian lady, man. She was sweet as can be, but
yeah, absolutely.
She always knew when we came home, she always knew, what'd you guys do tonight? Nope, tell me what you really did, because I already know. And we're like, oh, okay. So we could never get one over on her, you know? We had to sneak in after she was asleep. But well, no, I mean, there are real people out there with gifts, I think. But
I had actually a similar experience like that when I was a kid. My mom took me to a doctor, and the doctor had said to me, he goes, you know, you had spaghetti for dinner today. And I said, how did you know that? Right. And I went away saying, wow, this guy, how did he know? And then I come to realize that I had sauce on my shirt, you know.
There you go. There you go, man.
Yeah. You know, but he still might have known, though. You know, he still could have known.
I do that to people at like the grocery store when I'm checking out. Like, I'll be like, hey, how you doing, Gertrude? And she's checking me out, you know, and she'll be like, oh my God, how did you know my name? You're wearing a name tag. Right. Oh, okay. All right. But I like doing it, man. It's fun.
So yeah, guys. So that's going to be it for us, I guess. Right. I mean, unless you have something else to add about our profit guys here. I think we did a quite an extensive thing on the both of them. And I think they both had, you know, Edgar was definitely out there as far as helping people and stuff like that. Whereas I believe that Nostradamus's predictions, I believe that kind of just makes people aware of certain things, you know, that could happen or that might happen.
Well, you know? And you want it to happen. You and like not I think, want it to happen, but you want it to be right, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I think is the best prophet out there?
Who's that?
Science fiction. Because literally everything that has been in science fiction, like in the past, 60s, 70s, 80s, is now here. We have it and more. You know, it's really crazy how 90% of the time science fiction becomes science fact. And that's really the true prophets, I think.
Yeah, man. I mean, look at, for example, robots. I mean, the robots, I mean, mind you, that, you know, Elon Musk is a funny guy. So he probably did it on purpose, but the robots that are out now that Tesla is making look an awful lot like the robots from iRobot.
Yep. Yep.
Like almost identical.
Did you hear they're going to start delivering Amazon packages with those robots?
Really?
Yep.
See, and I'm not scared of like a Terminator thing happening. Like I'm not scared of like, that's crazy. I'm not scared of like a Terminator thing kind of happening. What I'm scared of is where there's computer systems, there's hackers.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing, because I don't care how good your system is, there's a hacker that knows how to hack into it.
Oh, yeah.
So who's to say that a hacker can't hack into a robot and do whatever the hell they want with that robot?
Sure.
You know, so that's the thing that concerns me. Like, I don't see the robots turning bad and their eyes turning red and they go around killing people. I don't believe that. But, you know, where there's software, there's people that know how to break into it. And that's the thing that kind of concerns me.
I don't know. AI is getting crazy, man. And AI is scary to me. It really is scary. It's starting to create itself. And it's just playing God to me, man. We played God, and what we created may consume us, you know?
Yeah. They're saying that now they're saying that AI has learned how to lie now.
Yeah.
And that it's evolving on its own.
Yeah.
Which is straight out of Terminator.
It's crazy. I mean,
like that's
it is. It really is. It's scary, man. It really is scary. Hey, did you see Kawasaki? Now, I know this is a little bit off the profit thing, but since we're talking about the robots and stuff like that, Kawasaki, did you see the new thing they just came out with? Well, they're coming out with, it's a prototype now. It's a new motorcycle, but it's not a motorcycle. It's a little horse thing that you ride around. It's got four legs, and this thing can go up mountains and all kinds of stuff. It's like a little bit bigger than the big dog,
so
and you ride on it like a, yeah. It's crazy. I saw the whole prototype of this thing. And I don't know why anybody would want to buy this, but it's out there. So
that's crazy.
It is crazy, man. We live in a crazy time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. But you know, I'm here for it, man. Like I love technology. So it's cool to see this stuff coming out. You know, like I'm a big virtual reality guy, so I can't wait for that to get even better. Yeah. And you know, for that to improve. So I'm looking forward to that. But listen, man, you know, this was a good show. Next week's show, we're going to be talking all about Travis Walton and his experience with his UFO abduction. So we're going to get into that next week. And, you know, we hope you guys have a good week. And again, if you have any paranormal experiences you want to share, 845-600-0744, ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You could do it anonymously if you'd like, and we'll play it on the show. You could even type it and I'll read it, whatever you want to do. We're here for it. Also, you know, like I said, all of our links are in the show notes. As always, we have t-shirts that are available that you could buy, that the proceeds go to charity and all that. So yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on. We're just getting started, so we're gonna have a lot more stuff coming out as well as a few interviews, very interesting interviews too.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely reach out with some of your own stories and even thoughts on, you know, the podcast we just did. You know, tell us who you think is the better prophet. It'd be interesting to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, with that being said, good night, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Good night.
We'll talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, and thank you to all of my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, please check out our show notes for all social media links of this show and some of our friends. The Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, uncovering the unseen.